deity is God, is Krishna. Because God is absolute, so his name, his form, his qualities, his pastimes, they are all the same as him, or they are him. And so the deity is the form of the Lord, and the deity is Krishna. There's a nice story of Shakshi Gopal, which we won't tell right now, but within the story of Shakshi Gopal, the deity was asked to act as a witness to a promise that a Brahmin had made in front of the deity. And when another Brahmin, who was also present, asked the deity to come to walk, because it was some hundreds of years ago, asked him to walk from Vrindavan to Orissa to give testimony, the deity said, I'm just a deity, how can I walk? And the young Brahmin said, well, if you can talk, why can't you also walk? And the deity said, yes, that's a good point. And the deity walked all the way from Vrindavan to Orissa. And that deity is still standing there in Orissa. And the subsequent rulers of the area have built temples for the deity, who's known as Shakshi Gopal. Shakshi means witness, because he bore witness to the promise of the Brahmin. And it's true that we, you know, our desire is to serve Krishna, our constitutional position is to serve Krishna. But in our present state, we are unable to see Krishna in his original Satchidananda Vigraha, as the eternal spiritual blissful form. But we can see material elements like stone, wood, metal. And so the Lord accepts a form made out of elements that we can see and touch, so that we can serve him. As Mohini said, in a very intimate way. I mean, it's a very intimate service to cook for someone, to feed someone, to dress someone, to bathe someone. It's a very intimate service. And also pray, he mentioned. Srila Prabhupada gives the example that if you put a letter in a mailbox, it will reach its destination. I mean, you can't just put a letter in any box, but if you put it in an authorized mailbox, it's the same as handing it to the person. So in the same way, we pray to the deity, but the deity is Krishna, and so it reaches Krishna. So that's good. That's a good beginning. So, coming back to the story of Srila Prabhupada and the deities in Juhu, their name is Radha Rasa Bihari. Rasa means the Rasa dance, and Bihari means one who enjoys or takes pleasure. So the deities were in a rented apartment in downtown Bombay, and eventually an important man in Bombay offered the land to Srila Prabhupada. And somehow Srila Prabhupada had a premonition or intuition that there could be some difficulty with the sale of the land. So he had the idea that if he brought the deities onto the land, that would secure the possession of the land. So he brought the deities and he promised them that you just sit here and I will build a temple for you. I thought this topic would be relevant because we're also building a temple here. He said, you just sit here and I will build a temple for you. Because they were only in like a shed at the time. We didn't even really own the property. And there were a lot of steps to building the temple. So, it turned out that the owner of the land tried to cheat Srila Prabhupada by keeping the money that Srila Prabhupada had paid as a down payment for the land and keeping the land. And Srila Prabhupada said, you know, I'll give you the land back if you want, but then you have to return my money. Or you let us keep the land and I'll pay you the rest of the money. But he was a very cunning person, very crooked person. So he wanted to keep the land and the money. And he embarked on quite a treacherous path of harassment of the devotees, thinking that he could drive them from the land. And he would do things like turn off the water supply, turn off the electricity supply. And then he hired a man called Ramu. We used to call him Ramu the coconut walla because there were a lot of coconut trees on the land. So ostensibly he hired Ramu to harvest the coconuts to sell them. But Ramu, he would stand near the temple, near the front road, where people would come to the temple, and he would brandish this machete that he used for cutting the coconuts, and look very menacingly at the people who were coming to threaten them. So this went on for some time, and one day Mr. Nair suddenly died of a heart attack, and one of the senior devotees who was visiting Bombay at the time phoned Srila Prabhupada to inform him that the landlord had died. Prabhupada's servant took the message and conveyed it to Srila Prabhupada. And Srila Prabhupada, anyway, he folded his hands in a mood of prayer. He said, "Thank you, thank you. I was praying for this." He was causing too much trouble to the devotees, and I could not bear it. This is a little confidential. It's not something that we would just repeat to people, because they might not understand. So that left Mrs. Nair, the landlady. Actually, the land was in her name. It wasn't in his name. And she, as we heard, used the money that she collected, I guess from the life insurance, from her husband's death, to pay off the municipal corporation and the police to come and demolish the temple. And one morning they came, like a big lorry, a big truck, with municipal workers and another, and a paddy wagon from the police station. So, you know, I rushed to the scene and said, "What's happening?" They said, "This temple is unauthorized. You have no permission, and we are going to demolish it." So I said, "No, we have permission." And I went and ran and brought the permission and showed it to them. But they were not interested. At that time, I was quite new in India. I didn't understand they had been paid and that they weren't really interested in things like permits. They were working on another basis. So then they came with their sledgehammers and pickaxes to demolish the temple. So, you know, I rushed forward to stop them, and then the policeman came and, you know, physically put me in the paddy wagon. Different devotees were running to try to stop them, and they one by one were picked up and put in the paddy wagon. And there was one lady devotee, she was like really heroic. She was like one of the deities, Pujari. She was like so heroic. She like stood in front of the door to the deities, like this, you know. And, you know, even though they were corrupt, but there still was a little respect, you know, because she was a woman. In an Indian culture, you know, you respect women, you don't touch women. So, you know, they were put off by that. But eventually they grabbed her by the hair and, like, dragged her away, put her in the paddy wagon. So, it was quite a precarious situation. And they began their work. And there was a whole clique of people, like a whole conspiracy. So one was the local corporator. He was like standing across the street and laughing And then there was another sort of a sinister character who lived across the street. He was also watching the fun. And one of the lady devotees named Gandiva, her mother lived down the street, and she had some sort of powers. So she came. You know, she heard the news. She was one of our only friends in the neighborhood, if you want to call that. And she came. And that man who lived across the street, yeah, that's what it was. Yeah, so they were able to dismantle the bricks with their pickaxes, and then the flooring, the marble chip tiles, you know, and the asbestos sheet roof. But there were these steel pillars, and they couldn't break the pillars. So they went and got a blowtorch. So their idea was that they were going to cut the pillars by melting them at the base. And this neighbor across the street, he was laughing. So Gandiva's mother, like, cursed him. That you are laughing because the temple is being burned. One day you will burn. So, there was only one devotee who didn't rush forward. His name was Manasvi. He's actually Gujarati. He was just sort of hiding in the bushes, watching what was happening. And then he got the idea to phone Bal Thackeray, who was the leader of the Shiv Sena party in Maharashtra. It's like a Maharashtrian Hindu party. And they're like very powerful in Bombay. So Manasvi phoned Bal Thackeray. He used one of the neighbor's phones. We didn't have a phone. Bal Thackeray phoned the municipal commissioner. And he said, "What is this? Your people are breaking a temple. And they don't have permission," which wasn't true. Because that's how the system works. It's like you pay someone and it goes all the way up and down the line. You know, everyone gets a cut because everyone's involved. So, on all levels, everyone gets something, so they all cooperate. So, Bal Thackeray said to the commissioner, "Don't forget who this city belongs to. You know, this city belongs to me." And the commissioner knew what that meant, because in the Shiv Sena there were a lot of warriors who would take action when required, you know, physical violence. So the commissioner got the message. He phoned the ward officer. We were in the K ward, like the highest person in the ward. And the ward officer came rushing to the site personally to stop the demolition. Meanwhile, the rest of us had been taken to the police station, and then eventually we got released and we came back to the temple. We saw the roof over the darshan area, the darshan mandap, had been broken. There's no roof left. And the brick walls, the front was open. It was sort of, yeah, the front and half of each side was open. And the brickwork had been demolished. And you could see where they were trying to burn these steel tubes. But all the steel tubes were still standing, although maybe one or two of them were a little weak at the base. And there were one or two pieces of the roof over the deities that had been broken, taken out. And in front of the door to the deities was a picture of Lord Nrsingadev. And it was just obvious that they couldn't really touch the temple. They took a couple of pieces off the roof. I mean, they still had some fear of the deity. I mean, they were Hindus, even though they're very corrupt and fallen, but they had some fear of the deity, so they didn't just go smashing the roof, but they were breaking pieces and removing. And, you know, we got there, the ghee lamp on the altar was still burning, and there was the picture of Lord Nrsingadev, and just a couple of pieces of the roof had been taken out or so. So deities are very powerful. They're very powerful. I used to go to Pakistan myself and preach there, but I had a godbrother named Amogalila who spent a lot of time in Pakistan. And there's a place in Pakistan called Multan. And there's a place in Multan called Prahlad Puri. And Srila Prabhupada mentions in Chaitanya Charitamrita that, you know, some people say that the palace of Hiranyakasipu was in Multan. So this, there's this place, Prahlad Puri. Do you know the story of Nrsingadev and Hiranyakasipu and Prahlad? So, you know, after partition, the Muslim government, they took over all the good properties, you know, for their purposes. So they wanted to convert the temple. It was like a big temple. They wanted to convert it into some government institution. But it was still there. The temple was still there. So one year, Amogalila and the devotees from Pakistan went to Prahladpur, like on a tour of different places. And they went there. And maybe against their better judgment, but they were just sort of overwhelmed with ecstasy, and they started to do Harinam Sankirtan, which is really dangerous. Really dangerous. And then, like, the Mohammedan guard at the site of the temple came forward, and they thought, oh boy, we're finished now. You know, we could all be put in jail for this, and Amogalila could be deported. But the guard offered them respect. And Amogalila was very surprised, and he asked him, you know, why are you showing respect to us? And the guard said, in the past, we have tried to demolish this temple. But some calamity would happen. You know, so the workers would be climbing on the walls and they'd fall down, break their bones. Because every time we tried to do something to the temple, some calamity would take place. So now we're afraid to try to do anything. So we know there's something very powerful here. You know, we don't know what it is, but we know there's something very powerful. So we guard it because it's government property, but we don't dare do anything. And I can see that you people have some devotion to this being who's inside there, so we're respecting you too. So eventually, you know, we rebuilt the temple. And one morning during Mangal Arati, we heard shrieks, blood-curdling shrieks coming from the house across the street. Then we saw an ambulance come up. So, you know, after Mangal Arati, we sort of discreetly inquired what was happening. And it turned out that the neighbor across the street, who was part of the group that wanted to drive us away, was laughing when the municipal workers were bringing the blowtorch to the steel tubes. He had put kerosene on his body and set fire to himself. And, I mean, the ambulance came, but it was too late. He had already died. So he was so, tormented that he committed suicide. And the words of Gandiva's mother, "You are laughing because Krishna's temple is being burned, one day you will burn," came to pass. So eventually, by Srila Prabhupada's immense potency and mercy, Mrs. Nair came around and she sold the land. You know, she executed the agreement and the land came to Prabhupada and ISKCON. But later Srila Prabhupada commented that actually I wasn't so keen on that land, but because I invited Radharasa Bihari, I could not bear the thought that they would be driven away. It would be too much of an insult. And so it was very personal relationship between Srila Prabhupada and Radharasa Bihari, and he did it. He built the temple in a mood of service to them. There's so many stories within the story, but I had been in Calcutta and then I came to Juhu. And Prabhupada made me the temple president, and then he left. And at that time, the deities were just in a... It wasn't even like a shot. It's sort of like a shamiana. It was just like really basic. It was like four big bamboo poles and some wood planks and some cloth around the sides and on the roof. Very basic. And then we would have devotees sleep in front of the deities every night to protect them. So one day I got a letter from Srila Prabhupada. I hadn't been there for more than a month. Got a letter from Srila Prabhupada saying that I hear that the deities are being neglected. This is a most abominable affair. You can imagine how heavy those words were. And he said, you know, I've received report that someone has stolen the deity's jewelry, even in the presence of this devotee who is guarding them. And then he said, yeah, the deities should be profusely decorated with flowers, and like all expenditures on the deity should be expanded without miserly contemplation. So, I mean, that was a very heavy letter. But in retrospect, I appreciate the devotee who wrote to Srila Prabhupada. She was a senior lady, Malati Dasi. And she was right to inform Srila Prabhupada. And there was another devotee, this is very interesting. He became the temple president in Brooklyn in 1973. And when he took over the Brooklyn temple, I was sort of struggling, I guess. There weren't so many devotees. And after he became the temple president, it just blossomed. And it was amazing. That Brooklyn temple, you know, I don't know, maybe it had 20 devotees when he came, 20, 30 devotees. You know, about 50, 80, you know, 100. Like, he had like 150 devotees or more. And, you know, they were all going out, distributing books, doing sankirtan. I mean, the temple was just flourishing. And later I asked him, you know, what did he do? You know, what was the secret of his success? And he said two things. One is he took very good care of the deities. I mean, he would even because in the beginning they were sort of struggling. They didn't have many devotees. They had a pretty big building to maintain. But he would always get like exquisite fabrics for their outfits and jewelry. He would get them like real jewels, which later Prabhupada said we shouldn't do because it could attract thieves. He got like real jewels. And he just put so much into the deity worship. And the other thing was he would give really good prasad to the devotees. He said, you know, you just give the devotees good prasad, they'll be happy and they'll do service all day long.
So they would have like really like every morning they'd have halava and cooked in ghee and they'd say really good prasad. And the deities, and he said, I wanted to show that if you take good care of the deities, everything else will follow. He said that. That was like his motto. And it was amazing how that temple flourished. So, the worship of the deities, the service of the deities, it's very central point. It's one of the five main, most potent items of devotional service. So, we remember Srila Prabhupada and his mood of service when he was, I think it was the same everywhere, but I know from Juhu that was his mood to build the temple for the deities. But of course to see that the deities were well provided for along the way. And to preach the two purposes. At one stage I don't know if he perceived it himself or he got reports, but we weren't going out to preach so much. And then Prabhupada said, the devotees are thinking that they have to have the temple to preach. But my idea was that they should use the land to preach, whether they have the temple or not. And he immediately said we should put on another big pond out program. He wanted us to get out and preach.
Yes, Lord Shiva is the demigod in charge of destruction, as he said. And at the end of the creation, he dances his dance of devastation and the universe is annihilated. At the end of Kali Yuga, Kalki Avatar will come. He won't destroy the world, but he'll just kill the demons. Just kill the demons. Any other questions? Yes, Brahma Samhita.
The other night, you were giving a lecture, and I think at the end of the purport, Srila Prabhupada commented how the pure devotees aren't interested even in the form of Narayan.
Mm-hmm.
So, does that mean that there's something impure about the devotion of the devotees who are worshiping the Narayan and the Vaikuntha, the planets in the spiritual world?
Yes, the verse said, Ananya Manasa, that their minds are fixed exclusively on Krishna, and they are not interested in the form of any demigod or any human being, including Hema Malini. So, I was going to tell a story in that regard, but it would have taken more time than we had, and it would have been quite esoteric. But I will say that all of the forms of Godhead who are Vishnu Tattva, forms of Godhead are absolute, they're all the same. on the Absolute platform. There's a verse in Chaitanya Charitamrita, which is in Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, that says that all the different forms of the Lord are the same in existence, but they differ in terms of rasa. So Lord Narayan, Lord Nrisimha, Lord Rama, Lord Krishna, they're all the same in substance or in existence, but they differ in terms of rasa. And with Lord Narayan in Vaikuntha, there's only Shantaras, like neutral appreciation, and Dasyaras, service, and the lower half of Sakyaras, which is friendship with awe and reverence. With Lord Ramachandra, there is parental affection, vatsalya rasa, with, you know, some awe and reverence, but there's also some parental affection. And then with Krishna, there's all the rasas without awe and reverence. I mean, there are many stories I could tell, but do you get the idea? Or do you want, like, more illustration? Yes.
So with Lord Ramachandra, what is Hanuman's mood considered? Is that like friendship or servitude?
Dasya. Hanuman is in Dasya Ras, servitorship. But I should mention that whatever relationship one has with whatever form of Godhead, that is perfect for that person, and he's fully satisfied in that relationship with that form of Godhead. So each devotee will experience, you know, complete satisfaction in his particular relationship with God. But just from an analytical point of view, you know, one can say that Dasya Ras has everything of Shantaras plus more, you know, plus service. And Sakya Ras has everything of Dasya Ras plus more, plus the sense of equality. And Vatsalya Ras has everything of Sakya Ras plus more. It has the sense of being a nurturing figure or a protective figure, that the Lord is dependent on one. And Madhurya Ras has all of those elements plus that romantic element. So from that point of view, one can analyze that Dasya is greater than Shanta, Sakya is greater than Dasya, Vatsalya is greater than Sakya, and Madhurya is greater than Vatsalya. But for the person in a relationship with the Lord, his relationship is the best for him. Hanuman would not trade his position for anyone else's position. In fact, there's a story that Krishna wanted to see Hanuman in Dwarka. So he sent Garuda. And Garuda told Hanuman that, you know, that Lord Krishna wants to see him. And Hanuman said, "Oh, I'm so old now, and I'm tired." And then he said, "Actually, Lord Ram wants to see you." And immediately Hanuman got sprung up and leaped all the way to Dwarka. And Garuda flew there, and Hanuman reached there before he did. Because his enthusiasm, his love, his devotion was for Lord Rama. Even though Rama is the same as Krishna, but his bliss came from serving Lord Rama.
We will be in some time with Srila Prabhupada in the spiritual world, or maybe we will have a different destination.
That is a good question. It depends on your desire. Depends on your desire. Lord Chaitanya had a devotee named Murari Gupta, who was a servant of Lord Ramchandra. In fact, Lord Chaitanya actually praised the glories of Lord Krishna to him. But he could not give up the worship of Lord Rama, the service of Lord Rama. And in the end, Lord Chaitanya embraced him and he said, "Yes, this is, you know, I'm very pleased with your devotion to Lord Rama." And he would see Lord Chaitanya as Lord Rama. It's like other devotees would see Lord Chaitanya as Krishna. He would see Lord Chaitanya as Rama, as his worshipable Lord Rama. So Lord Chaitanya told him that if you want to be my devotee and associate with my other devotees, you can. And internally you can see me as Lord Ramachandra. But externally, you should worship the same way as the other devotees. You know, you should not worship in any way that's different from the other devotees. And if you do so, then you can stay with the other devotees. So, as far as being with Srila Prabhupada, why do you ask that question?
What?
Yeah.
Because my feelings regarding Srila Prabhupada and other devotees also, I hear that We didn't become attracted to Krishna, but we became attracted to Srila Prabhupada. And because Srila Prabhupada was telling us we should try to become attached to Krishna, we tried to do like that. But our attachment was to Srila Prabhupada. And actually, in my case, I was living in the temple for 3 months, and I had zero, completely zero attached to Krishna. I was reading the book of Bhagavad Gita, and I liked the philosophy by having no attach at all to Krishna. But the book that I became attached was to Prabhupada Lilamrita. And I realized that, this person is no ordinary person. And this changed my heart. Srila Prabhupada, actually, no Krishna in one way. So I feel we should be close to Srila Prabhupada. And other devotees told me in the same way. So I'm wondering if we are going to be with Srila Prabhupada.
Well, if that's your desire, if that's your heart's deepest desire, you will be.
My Guru Maharaj was given, and he's talking about this. He said that one of the devotees told Srila Prabhupada, I think he said her name was Janaki, and she had said that she told Srila Prabhupada that she had a dream that all the devotees were in the spiritual world, and they were doing Harinam Sankirtan with Srila Prabhupada. And Srila Prabhupada told her, yeah, that was a true dream, that one day we'll be in the spiritual world all together doing all right, now it's sleep time. So,
yeah, that's true. We can have an eternal relationship with Lord Chaitanya, or an eternal relationship with Lord Krishna, or both. Some devotees, if they have strong attachment to both Krishna and Gauranga, they appear simultaneously in both Gaur Lila and Krishna Lila. If we join Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in his pastimes, we'll definitely be doing Harinam Sankirtan. And even in Krishna Lila, they do Harinam Sankirtan, but it's just a little different.
I have another question related. This attachment, we will to develop it, or is there already? Because it's hard to me to understand we can develop attachment to Krishna. How is possible to develop? This should be there eternally, no?
It is. Niti Siddha Krishna Prema, Sadhya Kabunai. Love for Krishna is eternally established within the heart. But, Sudha Chite, Shravanadi Karaya Udai, that one has to associate with devotees and engage in chanting and hearing about Krishna. And then that dormant love will be awakened.
And we have no control about what we want to decide. Is there the rasa, particular rasa?
Yeah, it's already there. It's already there. But what you can control is your association and the quality of your chanting and hearing. And that will awaken your love. Your dormant love. It's like in one conversation, a devotee asked Srila Prabhupada, you know, that it said that the relationship with the spiritual master is eternal, so you know, what happens after this lifetime? And Srila Prabhupada said, that Krishna will manage. You just do your business. And then he said, Chaku dan divo ye, janme, Prabhu said. So you just do your business. He who gave me the gift of transcendental knowledge is my Lord, birth after birth. Well, you just do your business and Krishna will arrange. That was what Srila Prabhupada said. Yes.
Every soul has.
What is your name?
Krishna Das.
Krishna Das.
So, each soul has his eternal dharma duty. Does this eternal dharma duty decide one's rasa? Or is it always realized that passion leads you to goodness on an eternal basis? Is this the focus one soul should remember?
Well, within the material world, we have a certain mind and body, and according to our natures, we have, we fall naturally in a category that has a tendency towards either, physical labor or, agriculture, trading, banking, or ruling, administrating, giving protection, or teaching, and worshiping. And in the Bhagavad Gita, Lord Krishna says it's better to do your duty imperfectly than someone else's duty perfectly. But apart from those duties in Varnashram Dharma, everyone has the duty to serve Krishna. Jiva Swarup Kai Krishna and Nityadas. So in that sense, it doesn't matter if you're a Brahmin, Kshatriya, Vaishya, or Sudra, but you in whatever position you are in society, you can serve Krishna by your work and by chanting and hearing and remembering Krishna. And by chanting and hearing and remembering Krishna and serving the devotees, your dormant love for Krishna will awaken. And then you'll have your eternal relationship with Krishna, your eternal service to Krishna. And that won't change. Any other questions? Or you? Okay.
It's a question that my Guru Maharaj, he was here like a few weeks ago, and I asked him this question, but he saw me like that, and he said, you should chant better Hare Krishna. So he didn't answer the question. He only told me you should chant more Hare Krishna. So I thought maybe the question is was not appropriate. But anyway, no, actually I think he was telling me what I have to do to understand the question. But I want to tell you again, maybe you're going to tell me the same thing.
I won't waste my time. He already told you, if that's not good enough, I'm not going to waste my time.
So I can say it, or I can You can try with another devotee.
No, you can ask your question, but you were saying I might give you the same answer.
Maybe not. Well, the question is that I told him that I feel now, and I feel before also, almost most of my life, I feel that I am only doing what my mind says. And without even answer or contemplate the idea, only the mind says something, I do this thing without any doubt, without any
question.
So the question is, who is doing this action? Who is obeying? Who is obeying the mind? Is the soul or what? Because in other way, one I hear from the devotees that we have to purify the mind. One time I hear one temple, it's like the finger. We have the finger like that. But if we have some thickness on the finger, maybe the finger is look like completely different. But if it becomes pure, the finger look like is in real in same. So, but in other time I hear that the soul, they have nothing to do or nothing to be with the mind, completely different. So the question is, the soul, me like soul, I am serving the mind, or this that is happening with the mind and the body, it has nothing to do with the soul.
So?
I don't know, it's a question. I'm confused.
I have a suggestion that will answer your question and help you to fulfill your Guru Maharaj's instruction. There is a new book written by Burijan Das, called Japa. And the first several chapters discuss the mind and the relationship between the mind, the senses, the intelligence, and the false ego. And if you read that book and study that discussion, you will understand the relationship between the mind and the intelligence and the false ego. And you will improve your japa. But in short, it's very peculiar because the mind is produced from the mode of goodness, and the intelligence is produced from the mode of passion. It's peculiar because we generally consider the mode of goodness to be higher than the mode of passion, and we consider the intelligence to be higher than the mind. The explanation is that the intelligence is able to fix on a goal and fixing on the goal, the intelligence subordinates the mind to the goal. For example, say, our long-term goal is to be Krishna conscious. Our immediate goal is to chant and hear the holy name with attention. So the mind is used to going here and there, and the intelligence, which is fixed on the goal, will act to control the mind. So in that sense, the intelligence is higher than the mind. It is. The mind, you're asking sort of like, where does the mind get its direction from? The mind in conditioned life serves the false ego. Like if we pay attention to our minds when we chant japa, we will find that the mind is involved in, well, as we discussed at Krishna and Vijayalakshmi's house, it's involved in hankering and lamenting. But that's on the basis of the body. That's the false ego. So there's like two divisions of false ego. One division is that you identify with the body. And the other division is you think you're the enjoyer, the proprietor, the controller. So if you analyze your thoughts when your mind wanders during japa, for example, you'll find that the underlying principle of all the wanderings of the mind is, I'm the enjoyer, I'm the controller, I'm the proprietor. So the intelligence is meant to control the mind and bring the mind back to the sound of Krishna, to the sound of the holy name of the Lord. And when the mind is fixed on the sound of the holy name, the mind becomes purified, ceto darpano marginam. And when the mind is purified, or as it becomes more and more purified, it becomes more and more attracted to the holy name of Krishna. And then, when the mind is attracted to the holy name of Krishna, then the intelligence is no longer involved. Yeah, when the mind is purified, and you could say in the mode of goodness, or pure goodness, then the intelligence is not involved.
It means
like you chant the holy name once and you're like stunned in ecstasy. It's not, the intelligence isn't there to control the mind. The mind is, at that stage, the mind is naturally attracted to Krishna. It goes naturally to Krishna.
The mind of the soul? Or what do you mean? Like when we are pure, completely pure, we have this mind. In the spiritual world, they have this mind that is fixed in Krishna. Because one time I hear that in the spiritual world there is no mind. That the soul has no mind. I hear one time from one devotee.
The soul has a spiritual mind. I mean, the material mind is made of subtle matter, but this, in the spiritual world, there's no gross matter or subtle matter. It's all spiritual. But the soul has a function that acts like the mind, but it's not material, it's spiritual.
We are chanting the pure holy name and we are in ecstasy thinking of Krishna only, this is the soul. If we are chanting Hare Krishna and thinking of Krishna, if one bomb came here and everything exploded, the body and everything, is there any change on me? Or we are still chanting the holy name in the spiritual body?
You have to chant better japa.
There's not no other way.
All right, so thank you very much. We'll meet again tomorrow if you're able to come. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Srisri Radha Nila Madhava ki jai. Srila Gurudev ki jai. Itai Gaur Premanande.